Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people. That was never my intention.
How much did it really help?
So my next question is, did your heart actually change? Because racism is a heart problem, and you have to have your heart in the right place.
I'm sticking with this, I promise.
I don't know what Drew's gonna do, but he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same.
What are we doing?
The negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. He made a mistake.
Thank you.
I was on the call today when Drew apologized to his teammates. They said, Drew, we know your character. We want you to do more positive things and less talk.
And I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice. That's going to have to be action.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, final hour of OMF here on a Friday. There has been no additional Drew Brees apology. So we've had one statement, one answer to a question in an interview. We have now had two apologies, but there has not been a third apology, though.
Not yet.
Yeah, who knows whether that's coming out. I'm amazed because I just looked at the text line. There are a few people that are sitting there saying, what am I talking about? That clearly these people were calling out Drew Brees as a racist. I think we use that word so loosely now that we just kind of throw it out there. And does anybody think they're calling him insensitive? They're calling him out for not being on their side when it comes to what they're dealing with right now with a police brutality case in Minneapolis. But does anybody think they're actually his teammates and others are calling him a racist?
No. I would say some of them, I would say most of them are supporting him. After the initial shock of what he said, it kind of passed by, that I think they all kind of, calmed down and recognized what it was, who it was, really. I feel like that was the most important part, who was saying this.
Yeah, I think being unaware and sensitive, and, I think those are the things. And listen, on Twitter, where everybody's judging jury people, sure, I've seen a lot of that. If you post like that Drew Brees' apology on video, racist, everyone's calling it on Twitter.
Yeah, people don't understand the
No. That's a great word. Everybody loves the word. Yeah. Everybody loves to throw it around. Everyone is. Because they're not. It's their way of saying they're not and everyone else is.
Right.
I don't think that players think they're disappointed in him. Yeah, listen, there might be a few guys that think he is, but it's probably people that don't know him.
And then we had Trump in the last hour come out and say, I am a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's truly one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent American flag. Old glory is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. We should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute or hand on heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. And in capitals, no kneeling. And that's, I think, setting off a lot of these NFL players.
I'm telling you, it was, I am not surprised. I mean, unprovoked. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't take the cheese.
No, they're going to.
They're just baiting you.
Yeah.
But no, but what you're saying is like. But that's what he wants, right? Take a knee so he can make it a big issue. Okay, so you really think that the players in the league are going to sit there and say, okay, we're not going to kneel because we don't want to give Trump what he wants? No, it's more important to them. They don't care what Trump thinks. They don't care what he says. They don't.
But what was it? What did it become more about? When it kind of got going 3 years ago, Trump comes out, he challenges you, don't do it, point them out, fire them. Those guys are jerks. Ah, they should all be cut. So it literally the message did get lost. I will admit that the message definitely got lost. It got convoluted. People were confused. Nobody knew what the hell it was. I don't even think Colin Kaepernick knew what the hell it was in the beginning. And then Trump got involved, and then the owners got involved, and then you didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well, then the NFL took a hit. They took an economic hit, and they attributed it to losing some of the people on that were Trump fans. And so they have an issue here. There's no question about it. Coming up at 5:30, Nate Boyer, you may remember him. He was the Green Beret, the guy that was a former teammate of Colin Kaepernick. And he was apparently the one that kind of gave the green light to Kaepernick to not sit, but take that knee, that it would show a little bit more respect and all of that. And we'll ask him how he feels about the reaction here to Drew Brees. We get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. This is Vinny in a car. Hey, Vinny.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, Vinny.
Good. Listen, I'm 62 years old. I consider myself a very patriotic person. I didn't have the privilege of serving my country. But I feel over the past week, I have been absolutely educated. I had the whole knee thing completely wrong. And please excuse my ignorance on that.
Well, what did you learn in the last week?
I get it now.
What did you learn in the last week?
I learned that it's about... police brutality. It's not about the flag taking the knee. That's so, and I had it completely wrong. I thought that it was completely about the flag. So, listening to you guys and really thinking about things, I feel like I get it much better than I did before. And I just wanted to kind of
hold on. When you're talking about the flag, it's about the country. And the flag represents the country, and there are people that were taking a knee because they were protesting not only police brutality, but they were protesting their own civil rights. So they were basically saying there are flaws of the country that we don't like, and therefore we're taking a knee.
There are so many flaws in the country right now, but it's still the greatest country in the world. And I firmly believe that once we get rid of this dumbass president that we have in the White House, I've seen many elections in my life. And at my age, it was the first time I almost cried when a president was elected.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question, because you might be right, Vinny. I don't know. You might be right with this. What about the last 8 years when you had an African-American in the White House and we had the same type of incidents that we're talking about right now? So we had a situation in Ferguson. We had a situation in Baltimore. Matter of fact, in Ferguson, it came back three different times over a year period. So should we blame Obama for that?
I don't think we should blame Obama for that. My opinion on Obama was that neither party wanted to cooperate with him at all. Hold on.
For much of his time Hold on. Vinny, you need to... I don't know how much you learned in the last week. For
so what
good
happened
portion
in the Obama
his,
administration was because of the Republicans.
Please, for most of the
stuff.
Time he was in there, he had a majority in the legislature and in the Senate.
Oh my God,
Vinny, right. that's the problem. I don't listen. You could sit there and you could scream about Trump, and I don't like the way Trump talks. I already said it. This timing and what he said today was stupid, idiotic. Why do you do it right now? But if you're talking about that, Trump is the reason that we suddenly have police brutality or we suddenly have civil rights violations.
It would be different if it never existed before this guy came into office. Right?
Yes, that it was everything was clean. Everything was wonderful. You got to be kidding me. What happened?
Yeah, he's just, I don't know, stoked it and made it such an almost like a campaign promise.
He's running for office every single day.
That's I will make doing. Everybody stand up in the NFL. Yeah, I'm going to build a wall. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah.
It's like a slogan.
Right.
It's weird.
But I, I've heard other
guys are falling for it.
I've heard other people say this, and there's no question that you have a split. We've always had a split, by the way. You can go back to when Bush was elected, when Clinton. There's always been that 50-50 split, and one side goes with an extra 2%, and that's the difference, 52-48, whatever. The difference now is that with social media and everything else, there is a hatred of that other side toward Trump like we've never seen before. Because I do remember when Bush was in office that there were many other people that to the left that were calling him a racist. And of course, now suddenly they love George Bush for some reason, you know, but at the time they felt differently. So there is something about this with Trump around it, yeah. But you can't tell me that the incidents we're having right now have got, I mean, how is he totally responsible?
Who?
Trump?
Yeah, how is he totally responsible?
He isn't. He isn't. But I just wanted to bring him up because of what I think the players are, the trap that they're walking into. You know, when it comes to Breeze, Breeze will be part of, he'll be a weapon. People will use Breeze as a weapon. And they'll start throwing his name around there. He shouldn't have conceded. He should have stood his ground. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. So now he's going to have to, I guess, make amends. You know, make it right. And that's why I'm glad this guy is coming on. Nate Boyer. Nate Boyer, 535, coming on, talked to us. He was the guy, and I think you were right on this, Glenn. Initially, Kaepernick was sitting. And then I want to say that Nate Boyer was the one that said kneeling is more respectful.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing on this.
Yeah, I think that was it.
I guess it makes sense when you think about it. I remember one time we had a guy on my team, and he was like mentally preparing for the game, and he was sitting down, and he had a hat on. He was just kind of in his like own little zone, and the national anthem was going on. So many people in the stands were yelling at him for sitting down during the anthem. I feel like he never got over it, and he did it by mistake. He didn't even know what was going on. Then he had his hat on, what made it twice as bad. And I can sit there and say, if I'm a military guy, and I've spent a lot of time overseas fighting, I think I would prefer someone to kneel rather than sit. I mean, if I had my choice, I guess that's what I would choose. But if you tell me you're kneeling because of everything that's going on and purposely doing it during the anthem, I don't know if you're protected by kneeling.
But if you look at what's happening to Drew Brees here and the way people are dealing with him, he's not disrespecting the cause. He's not disrespecting.
Says you.
No, I don't
says
think.
Says you.
But I don't think he's doing that. But, what he's doing is he's saying that I don't want to do the protest while the flag is in play and the national anthem is being played. Correct?
I know. But again, I sit there and go, well, I mean.
But I've seen everything that he said here, and he's talked about police brutality. He's talked about all this other stuff. Now, he didn't answer that question, you know, properly initially, because he was asked that question out of nowhere. It wasn't like he was making a statement. People are treating it like he was making a statement. He was asking a question about being a leader and whether he is going to take a knee in September.
Right.
Yeah, it's he is now, I just feel like Breeze is now, I see it all over the place. ESPN is doing it. It's just, he's like the face of this now.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable.
Right.
And how about Matt Light? Matt Light, who's a great guy himself, been around a lot of great people, and he's flat out saying, Drew Breeze is the best of the best of the best. It was like when Mike Tannenbaum was saying that the Patriots had the best position group. Their running back group was the best position group in the entire NFL. I mean, you were talking offensive line groups, linebacker groups, D-line.
I think he fixed that in that tweet when he said just the running back room. But yes, yes. But he fixed it, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, but getting back to what I was saying about Breeze is that Breeze and the apologies, the two different apologies, has now come back and talked about the cause, has he not? That's
yes,
what
he
did.
Has.
So the only thing he's standing...
It's not enough.
Okay,
but I mean, but I don't understand if the video apology. He had came out the next day with an apology. Some people accepted it. Some people didn't. A video apology wasn't going to change anyone's mind. He just, I guess, apparently just wanted people to see his face. But, you know, I don't know if people that were upset about his first apology were like, okay, now that I've seen his face, I believe him now. So I don't know what it really changed. And you guys hear Charles Barkley talking about the heat that Drew Brees is taking right now? Because I want to play Charles in what he said about it. Why not?
Drew's right. Original statement, I thought, was insensitive. It was very insensitive, especially during this time. But I thought the negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. I've never heard a bad word about Drew Brees in my life. He made a mistake. But we've gotten to the point in society where everybody on social media thinks they are God, judge, and jury. Drew Brees made a mistake.
So, yes. So Drew Brees went into, with the apology, went into every aspect of the cause. And everything he missed initially, he had in the apology. And, of course, you're right, Lou. When people apologize, one day later, people are usually not believing them, and they're thinking what you said the first time is really how you feel. But in this instance, I think the only thing that people other than Charles Barkley are going to sit there and say, okay, I'm with Drew Brees on this, is if he throws the towel in and he announces that he will take a knee during the national anthem.
You know what else is kind of interesting is, you know, ESPN, Jemele Hill, and that whole, really everyone who was working on ESPN, they just got out of politics altogether.
They're back into
politics.
They're back into
Well, no, I don't know if they're into politics, and I think they need to be really careful about mixing demonstrations, change, and everything else with politics. I think they need to be really careful with just how they attack, who they attack, how they kind of serve it up, because I feel like I see it all the time but it's more about that, just though? The racial inequality. I think I don't know, to be honest with you.
Because players are talking about it. I mean, I'm watching First Take today. I'm watching Get Up, Get Down, watching them this morning. And that's what they're talking about, because that is the issue right now. And, of course, we all know, Christian, we don't have any games. We have no games to talk about.
They're not talking necessarily about politics. It was a real strong right side, left side attack. It was really just becoming like, what am I turning on ESPN for? I might as well watch Fox or CNN. That's what it became. So they changed it. They muzzled everybody, and the people who didn't listen, they just let go of, because they just got such a bad rap.
Right.
So I'm curious to see how they'll handle it. How will they handle it?
Yeah, they're starting
now
to talk.
It's not going away.
They're starting to talk more about it. You're hearing that. Yep. If you've watched them in the last week, you've talked more about it. And in all fairness to them, I don't know how you can totally dismiss it.
Well, do you think that? Remember, they tried to. There was this push to change the NBA logo from Jerry West to, I don't know who they're going to change it to,
but Kobe? There was a.
No, what? Oh, well, that was, yeah, but that was different because it was because Kobe died. But did they not think, oh, no, totally different. I'm mixing two stories. So they never wanted to change. They never wanted to change the logo.
I think you're mixing it up with the Kobe story.
Yeah, but yeah. I can see, I just saw something on ESPN where Jerry West, instead of it being in the colors, the NBA colors, it was black. Like the shadow was black. It wasn't the white shadow, not to reference the old show from the 70s and 80s,
good show.
But it was the best show.
Yeah, I love
but
that show.
It was, it, you know, with the blue and the red, and then Jerry West being outlined in white, it was all black. He was black.
Listen, it's all great to do all of the symbolism, but we have people now that are calling for taking all police shows off the air.
What? That.
Yeah,
No.
Movies.
Legos are taking the policemen off
Stop
of the.
It.
They want to ban police movies. This guy wanted to ban police movies and police shows.
Right.
Take them off the air.
See, that's what we're doing. Instead of dealing with the problem, Police brutality.
See, this is where you lose me.
Right. What we're doing is we're taking everybody's pop culture away.
What do you mean, Christian?
It's crazy.
Well, people don't go too far.
This is where you lose me.
What are you talking about?
Are you really taking this serious?
They want to take away toys, the deals with police. Yeah.
So why does that sound crazy? If I want to play cops and robbers, I can only play robbers now.
Yep. Yes. Yes. No more Paw Patrol.
Nope. No more Paw Patrol. So when you are playing, so wait. So there's no role playing. So I can't like dress up in a cop's uniform.
No, like, hey, you're under arrest. 12 off the air. Old reruns of Adam 12.
So strippers, when they pull your car over and then they say, "Hey, get out of the car. You've been bad. You can't do that anymore. And he can't cuff you." Man. What happened? What's
you know the
villain? All
the
bachelor parties.
People, they took the cop and they threw his
they
ass out.
They took the cop away. Oh my god. Yeah, one poor guy's like, "Listen, dude, we can't have we can't have you. You got to think of something else." I'll be a ref.
But that's what drives me crazy, guys. It's all symbolism. People think you solve the problem by taking off on TV land. You take the old cop shows off the air, and then we're going to solve
no
the
dragnet?
Problem. Yes, we're solving the problem of police brutality. I mean, what are we thinking here?
I think you need to be really careful about how far you want to push it.
Wait, you don't think that's pushing it too far?
I think you've gone a little. Yeah, I think yes. Yeah. I think you've gone too far.
I saw the Legos one. That was unbelievable. They want to pull the.
We should go out and get some because they're going to be collector's items.
Yeah.
Oh. We should go buy a bunch of Legos.
But how does that? Where do people come up with these ideas and think that? That's how you solve.
They're on a roll right now, so they just figure, screw it. Let's just keep going, mm-hmm. right?
Well,
Get rid of all TV shows.
It's almost like you just take,
I'll get support for that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how far can we push it?
Yeah.
They're letting us get away with anything we want.
By the way, let me check with Tyler. Tom Brady said anything?
No, not yet.
So all we've got
he
is
he did
the,
say something already.
What, the praying hands?
Praying hands.
Yeah.
The emoji with the praying.
He was smart. He knew better. He was like, nope, not going to go in there.
So where does he benefit by saying anything? Because he looks at this Drew Brees thing now, and he probably feels that in his mind, he wants to stand up and be respectful of the anthem, and he probably has real compassion for what people are dealing with, right? But how do you do it without pissing people off right now if you're Tom Brady?
Don't say anything, Tom. Don't say anything. You said enough. Praying emojis.
Yeah.
That's all you needed.
Maybe, you just wait. He's going to address it. Might be in a couple of months at practice. Right?
Well, I would say this. The one thing that Spicer gave us is he doesn't think they're going to start till October. I actually am buying into that more and more every day.
Yeah.
I'm buying into that.
We made
that
sense
philosophy.
Of that when he said it.
That makes a lot of sense. Sure I'm like, does. Oh, man, I think he's tied. He's dialed in. He is tied in. He probably talked to Trump, talked to somebody else, talked to some of these owners, and they gave him real information.
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
And they want fans. We know that. The NFL is telling
us
they want fans.
You want Super Bowl on President's Day, so you push the schedule, a few weeks, three or four weeks, whatever it is. As of right now, if you start September 8th, 9th, when the season might start, you might have 5 weeks. Maybe six going up against NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Baseball's done. They're not going to come back. But still, maybe if they did, it might be a World Series. So why do that for 5 or 6 weeks? Make people choose on Sunday night or Monday night. Why not just do it for two? Why not start October 1st? And then you can play on President's Day in February. It makes a lot of sense. And you got a better shot of getting fans.
Yeah, I tell you what, we spent the whole show, we were almost at the end of our show. We're going to have Nate Boyer come on in about 5 minutes, six, 7 minutes. And that's the first baseball reference we've had.
The what? What's that?
Yeah, baseball. I know.
Just saw, by the way, Tim Kirchen tweeted out this in the last couple of hours. He thinks they're Dunsky.
I don't know.
He's very pessimistic. But he thinks they could be done.
Yeah, we'll very see. Pessimistic. Very pessimistic. What a joke. I mean, I'm sorry, Lou. It is a complete.
It's really going to happen, is it?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. They're not going to play.
No.
They're going to F it up.
No, they are going to screw it up. I mean, how you look at both sides right now. How could you? Tony Clark, he puts out this big statement. We want to come back and play. I mean, listen, stop trying to spin the narrative now onto the owners. You both suck. Both sides. You're done. Done with the game. Like, you're not enough with the PR and trying to get the public in the narrative. Like, nobody cares anymore. They didn't want to pay you full prorated for 82. So what did you do? Your union came back and sat there and said, we want to play 82. Fine, we'll play 114. Prorate us for that. Give us more money. Like, it's just both sides are so tone deaf. You wonder if the owner's offers were so ridiculous that they just want to implement 48-50 games from the very beginning. So, listen, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but 45-50 games? Why don't you just come back with, like, a best of three? Why don't you just come back with, like, 12? And then we can figure out who started the year off 9-3 and put them in the freaking World Series.
So I read Jeff Passan's piece today. I know you did as well, Lou, and he goes into all the financial details. It'll give you a popsicle headache if I start reading it because it gets into far too much detail. But basically, it comes down to the revenue is $1.7 million it cost them. Excuse me, not the revenue, the expense.
No,
line.
That's what they would pay in salary per
yes,
day.
Yes, 1.7
everything was normal.
Million, yes. Right? They would have to pay up for.
But
each
they're,
one of these
they're
games.
Still claiming that they're going to lose $640,000 per game. So they
correct.
Don't want more game. They don't want right. to miss the World Series in November.
Right.
But, you know, if you believe people like Alex Speer who exposed that number of 640 and say, oh, by the way, that doesn't include national money, which is $1 million a game. So enough. Stop. Everyone's lying. Everyone's full of crap. Figure the thing out. Nobody cares. You're really close. No, right now, not many people care, period.
But I think the owners are going to get what they want. If the players give in to play 50 games, that's the only way we're going to get baseball, Lou. We're not going
to
get 80 games. We're not
going to
certainly not going to get 114.
Manfred's got the power to say 50, period.
Right.
If you don't want to play, it's a strike.
That's right. So they're looking at it, and they're sitting there going, we got this pile of money. This is all we have. If you guys want to play for this pile of money, you can play for this pile of money. If not, screw you. We're not going to play games in which we lose more money to add more games on the schedule. So that's the only way we're going to get baseball is if the commissioner sits there and said, we've already agreed to it, 50 games, guys, that's it. We're going and playing it. We're doing it. All right, we take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Nate Boyer. He's that Army Green Beret. Who helped Colin Kaepernick make that decision when he originally took a knee instead of sitting. We'll get to all of that and find out what he thinks about Drew Brees as well right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, back here on OMF, Nate Boyer is a former teammate of Colin Kaepernick. He was instrumental in the way that Kaepernick approached things back 3 years ago. He's also a former Army Green Beret, and he joins us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Nate, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good to be here.
So obviously we want to get your reaction to what has happened in the last few days with Drew Brees. We've gone through an incident a week ago of a death of a black man by the hands of a police officer. A week later, Drew Brees is asked a question about whether he would take a knee. So you tell us, is what Drew Brees said, is it insensitive? Is it disrespectful? Because he's taken a lot of heat for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he knows that, and that's why he's apologized twice, you know, and that's why pretty much everybody, for the most part, people are upset about it, just because it's not the feelings that he had. I have the same feelings he has. I mean, I feel the same amount of pride in my country, and when the anthem plays, man, I stand up, you know, with my hand in my heart. The one NFL game I got to play in, I stood on the sideline and cried when that song played, so I get all that. I feel the same thing. It's just in this situation when we're talking about, you know, the narrative as to why these protests have happened, why people are taking a knee. It's not about the military. It's not about being anti-American, or really even about being, you know, against the flag or the anthem. And that's what it sort of alluded to in what he said. You know, it wasn't about the fact that they're protesting police brutality, racial inequality, social injustice, the things that they've been pretty verbal about since the beginning. So anyway, that's where it's frustrating, I think, and people are pretty disappointed. But Drew's a really good guy. He's done a lot of great things for the city of New Orleans, for the veteran community. He helped secure voting rights for formerly incarcerated people in Louisiana. It was one of the last two states that still didn't allow that, and he was part of that movement. So I think it's not a pass. He doesn't get a pass for this. But, like, I hope and believe that he'll come out of this stronger and more understanding and listen better, and it'll help galvanize the team, galvanize the city even more, and we'll grow from it. That's all. I mean, that's my hope anyway. I'm trying to look on the positive of this.
So, Nate, take us back three and a half years ago, whenever that was, that conversation, when I believe we were talking about it earlier, Colin Kaepernick was sitting during the anthem. You guys had a conversation, and you recommended kneeling. Less disrespectful, yeah, or not, yeah, disrespectful? Yeah,
yeah. He'd been sitting, and you know, when we met, he reached out to me, and when we met, he asked me if there was another way that he could demonstrate that wouldn't offend people in the military. And I told him, no, there's nothing you can do that's not going to offend people, clearly. And I said, but I think if you're alongside your teammates, it's a better look, personally. Yep. And I've never seen kneeling as a disrespectful act until, you know, that officer took a knee on George Floyd's neck. Before that, I hadn't really, you know, ever thought of that as being disrespectful. People take a knee to pray and propose to their wives, and we'll take a knee at Arlington to pay respects to a fallen brother. He was committed to not standing, and I respected that. I wasn't going to kneel or sit or protest in any way, but that's his right. That's a right that I fought for. We take an oath in the military to defend the Constitution, which includes the First Amendment. So, you know, I fought for his right to do what he was doing, if it's done in a peaceful way. And he was, you know, hoping to make things better for our country. And that was his way of doing it. And, can't fault him for that. And you know, now we're seeing it talked about in a very different light now, 3.5 years later.
You know, Nate, are you surprised that the wires get crossed on what this is all about? Because we've done our show for how long now, over this last 3 days, talking, and it's always one person says one thing, the other person says just the opposite. Does it surprise you that everyone has a different opinion on what it means?
No. I mean, we're a very opinionated country, and everybody's entitled to that. Everybody's entitled to your opinion, your emotional feeling. You know, it's okay if you feel disrespected when that happens. That's okay to feel that. The point is, when he said, I will never disrespect the country by kneeling, it's basically saying or alluding to all these people that are kneeling during the anthem are disrespecting the country. They're not kneeling so that it changes for the better as far as improving the way that we police accountability, racial inequality, stuff like that. It's taking away from that narrative. And that's what was frustrating about that. So, like, it's okay if you feel that way. You can feel angry, obviously. Look at the streets right now. People have a lot of angry people out there, and that's okay. But what's not okay is obviously physically hurting other people, like it's happening right now. You know, whether that's you know, the police that just aren't trained well in, you know, when they're doing some of the stuff they've been doing for the last few years, as far as you know, just on regular patrol, or even now with the riots, or people that are rioting in a violent manner, you know, and police officers have been injured and hurt in this last week too, and we need to remember that. That's not okay. You know, but we're all entitled to be upset, to be angry, and to fight for something, like we should. And if it's good stuff, and it's about improving our country, then you should fight for it if that's what you believe. You know, as long as you're not hurting anybody else.
We're talking to Nate Boyer, the Green Beret, the former teammate of Colin Kaepernick. You talk to a lot of military people, and you've already given us your feelings on it. There are a lot of military people I talk to who feel that it is disrespectful to take a knee with the flag. So we're all about symbolism here, and yet we still have police brutality, and we have incidents like Ferguson and Baltimore and now this one. How do we solve any of this, Nate? I mean, we're going to bitch in the fall about whether guys should take a knee before a football game with a song. But how do we really resolve any of this stuff?
We got to find a way to restore honor in the uniform, a police officer uniform, and that badge. Because we've got to understand that it's absolutely necessary. We need law enforcement. We can't just do away with law enforcement. That's not the answer, right? We need that. But we need the right people doing it. We need the right people patrolling it. We need to definitely change a lot of the criminal justice system. But we also want people to want to be cops, the right people, that, you know, and patrol the neighborhood that they're from, and people that understand those places better. You know, we've got right now we're in a place where it's just such a vilified position and demonized. And part of that, it's warranted by some of the actions that have taken place. But like, so what we've got to do now to pick up the pieces is we got to find a way to adjust the way that it's done. And like I said, restore honor in that uniform, you know, so that we have people that are like, you know what, I'm going to be a part of the change by being a police officer and changing the way that's done. Because right now you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that's willing to do that. It's a difficult job. It doesn't pay very well. And right now nobody likes you. Like, why the hell would you want to do that?
Yeah.
So, Nate, I'm curious. Like, 3 years ago when Colin took a knee, what were your feelings when you saw the reaction of the league? He couldn't find a job. When you saw the reaction of the president, how did that make you feel?
You know, I mean, it's a complicated situation. You know, he's obviously talented enough. People know that. But it was like, it was a tough position, because it was like, if you want to just get into the simplicity of it and take out a lot of the narratives, it was like, this guy might be a backup quarterback at this moment, you know, at this time. He may not be quite a starter yet. So do I want my backup quarterback to be the symbol for, you know, social justice and a lightning rod for the press all the time? You know, usually that's a signal caller who's holding a clipboard. You know what I mean? Up there in Boston, it was Jimmy G for a few years, and you didn't hear a peep out of him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, that's just it's an atypical role for someone like Colin Kaepernick. And so you've got that, and then there's the fear from ownership of, like, I don't want to lose my sponsors, and the league, you know, the league is trying to navigate that, and it's just, there's so much bureaucracy involved. So that's what makes it complicated. I think, I do believe, and I know, I've talked to plenty of coaches and people in management that wanted to try to find a way to make it work. And then there was a lot of other people that straight up just this is what they said. And some of these were people of color, coaches of color. They were like, it's just not worth it. You know, it's just not worth all that comes with it if we don't even know, you know, he's going to be playing. I mean, what if he gets in that locker room as a backup? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, gets in the locker room as a backup, and the quarterback, that's the starter, starts struggling a little bit. And all of a sudden it's like, why aren't they playing Cap? You know, oh, it's, you know, is it this? Is it that? Is it like all these, you know, storylines and narratives and things that just are it just gets wild, you know, and it gets a little bit scary for those organizations. And that's why I think a lot of them backed away from it. Some of them straight up might be like, might have said to themselves, you know what, he goes against everything I believe, and I'm just not going to sign him. And that's, I guess, their decision as well. You know, so, but it's a mix of things, I think.
One final question, Nate. If Colin Kaepernick or any of your former teammates asked you, based on what has transpired here in the last week, to take a knee, would you?
When the anthem is played?
Yes.
No, sir. I don't feel that way. I respect that right. I'll stand next to those men that choose to do that, and I'll fight and take action to see that change occurs, because that's way more important than a protest, than the gesture, is the action afterwards, how it gets, because that's how it really gets fixed. I'm all on board for that. But when I hear that song, those symbols, they mean something different to me. You know, I've had a lot of people I know that were, I carried a casket draped in an American flag of my best friend, you know, at a military funeral. And it's just different to me. But
You sound just like Drew Brees.
Oh, boy.
You do. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, that's basically exactly what he said. Yep. You don't agree with it. Yep. He doesn't agree with it.
Yeah. Exactly. I said that. I feel the same way that he feels about it. But, you know, what he failed to do, and what he's probably regretting not doing now, is instead of saying, like, this is how I feel, it doesn't mean you have to feel this way. He said, you know, I'll never disrespect
agree. It was not disrespect. Right. The word was agree. I would never agree.
There you go.
And I think you're saying the same thing. You would never agree, right?
I would never do it. I'm not saying that. I said I would never do it. Yeah. You know?
But yeah.
Nate, it was great talking to you. Are those your birds? Are those train birds are in the background that we hear? Or are you out just outdoors?
Nah. It's just I'm outside.
Terrific.
They're not mine.
Nate, it was great. It was great talking to you. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate your time.
You too, fellas.
Have a good one. That is Nate Boyer, former teammate of Colin Kaepernick, and as we said, the Green Beret.
Unbelievable. Great question to end, Glenn. You finally had a good question.
But that's the point, though, too. Like, he agrees with the, you know, Drew Brees that he would never do it. But Nate understands why others do. And I think that's where Drew Brees lost people.
Yeah.
But he didn't even give it. He just didn't say that. That doesn't mean he doesn't understand it. He didn't say that.
Right. For a lot of stuff he did not say.
Well, yeah, listening to this guy, he's saying exactly the same thing.
He is.
And then he said, "Well, you see, he referenced a story similar to yours, Glenn, with your dad.
Right, exactly
the same thing. Right. He's emphatic. No, sir. No, sir. I won't do it."
Yeah. Right. And this is the guy that we keep on hearing. People tell us that influenced Colin Kaepernick.
Well, that's because he understands the other side of it.
Yes,
Drew Brees in his interview didn't show that understanding. And
yes.
it's not
but,
that he didn't.
But,
and it's
well,
not
wait
that
a
he doesn't.
Yeah,
not
but,
that he doesn't.
But it was.
I'm just saying he didn't say it. That's all.
But
that's
I think
this guy did.
Again, it was timing, though, Lou. It was in the setting
of a few days after
the George Floyd thing.
No, so, I'm just saying if you're going to sit there and say I'll never agree with anybody who kneels, where we are right now, you have to follow that up. You have to follow that up and say,
no,
but
I agree.
If people decide to kneel, I will respect that decision. I won't agree with them, but I can at least respect them for doing it because it's something he believes
in. And isn't that amazing? Look how simple that is. Just a couple words, and then you would have avoided all of this. Multiple apologies. Because I was my mind. Did you see my mind blow up? It just blew up. He said the exact same thing. And I was like, and then he kept, then he went to the flag. I'm like, we just did this. This is the guy that says, that's mentoring and counseling these dudes. And he feels the exact same way.
Right, this hour's
you can feel both ways.
Yeah, no question. This hour's been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We got last call on Mutt next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Be a great time to clean out your old garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Now offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-4KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. Well, Max Kellerman pissed off New England Patriot fans a few years back. And now he's the number one enemy of the hockey world after these comments.
Listen, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but in the United States of America, no one really cares about hockey. You know, the old joke is every town has 20,000 hockey fans. They all have season tickets. So the arenas are always sold out, but the TV ratings don't do anything. So it's not one of the four major team sports.
Whoa!
What? So what are the four major team sports there, Max?
To him, it would be NFL, it'd be college football, probably. It'd be the NBA, and what would be, and then maybe NASCAR? No, baseball. Baseball.
What is not the baseball?
Linda Cohn responded on Twitter, "What do you mean nobody cares about hockey? Very disappointed and surprised you would make a statement like this, Max Kellerman. It's insulting to this great game, those associated with it, cover it, and to the passionate fan base here in the United States."
It's stupid comment.
Shots fired.
Stupid comment.
He claimed that hockey went off the cliff back in 1974.
Fell off the cliff.
Right off the cliff.
Stupid comment.
Hi, Mutt.
Totally agree. What? Oh, sorry.
Hi, Mutt.
Was my mic on?
Hey, Mutt. What's that? Oh, your mic's on, buddy. We've heard you all day.
In the house, yes.
I've heard you loud and clear, pal. You can hang up right now. Start your weekend.
We'll done. See
you later. Sounds good.
Bye.
So what do you got tonight, Mutt?
This is quarterback for New Orleans, Drew Brees. You guys hear about him?
Yes. Oh, yeah, heard a little
bit. He had a couple comments that I don't think I've gotten quite enough conversation.
How many hours you on for tonight?
Less than one.
Less than one. Well, you might get another apology out of him in the 1 hour.
He may apologize between now and then, and we'll talk about. Obviously, I thought Nate Boyer was very good, excellent with you guys, and Christian was right. Really, really good question by Glenn. Out of nowhere at the end, and he admitted.
Yeah, from the top rope.
To it. Then Red Sox class is coming up at 7 o'clock. Derek Lowe's no hitter in 2002.
Oh, is that coming up tonight?
As called by Joe Castig and Jerry Trupiano. Castig will join us in the pregame, as will Evan Drellick. And I want to ruin this, but Evan Drellick was going to join us to tape our interview before. There is some baseball news he's working on. So maybe some baseball news tonight, boys. We'll
good
see.
Or
I don't
bad?
Wanna...
Good or bad?
I don't know. Or nothing. Who knows with Drellick. So we will talk to Drellick as well. So Red Sox Classic 7, Drew Brees, 6 o'clock in about
All right, boys.
All right, boys, you have a delightful weekend. Everybody stay safe out there. We'll be back Monday, 2 p.m. with OMF. We're out of here. Goodbye.
I am absolutely done with this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.